the truck, honk his horn, and he even pulled over in the lane next to the woman and signaled her to pull over as he tried everything that he can to get this woman to stop as she was driving on this lonely road on a very dark night. The lady, she being all alone, was very scared and decided not to stop, so she drove even faster. Unknown to this lady, the driver of the truck behind her had spotted a man known to be a rapist crouching or hiding in her back seat. Have you ever felt that, like in life, there are times that you are running away from the wrong person? Sometimes in life we are running away from those who want to help us. Really and truly, this is the story of Jonah. Like Jonah, oftentimes we can be so disobedient, we can want our own way so much, that those that to us we perceive that they don't have our best interests at heart, so we choose to run into the opposite direction. I want to say this morning, I want to signal my intent, if I would this morning, that whether it's you or it's me, in our lives, whenever we choose to run away from God's calling on our lives, we will always be running in the wrong direction. You hear me? When we choose to get away from God's call, we choose to do that which God has called us to do, whether it's in your life, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in parenting, it doesn't matter what aspect of your life that you choose to do your own thing, you will always be going in the wrong direction. Last week, we started looking at this little book of Jonah. And it's a very interesting book because this book is considered one of the minor prophets. Jonah is also a prophet of God. But it's one of the strangest books because you really find no prophecy per se in the book of Jonah. It's really a narrative. It's written differently than most of the prophecies, the prophetic books that you would find. It's really a narrative of the life of this servant of God called Jonah. And last week we saw Jonah's commission. Last week, the voice of God came to Jonah, the prophet of God, and said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah could not have argued that he didn't understand what God was saying to him. It wasn't a situation that Jonah did not understand exactly what God meant. Jonah knew exactly what God said. As God came to Jonah and said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach a message of judgment to that great city. But I want you to understand as we begin this morning that Jonah, by the time the call of God came to this prophet, Jonah was already a famous prophet. We already looked at that last week. He had already prophesied many things and some, they have all came true. So understand, when God fingered Jonah and God said, Jonah, I want you to be the first missionary to this Gentile nation, you would have think that Jonah would have said, wow, that's great. God chose me to be the first missionary to this Gentile nation, not Jonah. By the way, this nation, the city of Nineveh, was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. By the way, as I said last week, they were very, very cruel. They were not nice people. In fact, history has documented that this city, the Ninevites, they had already waged war against Israel. Both the northern tribe and the southern tribe, the Assyrians, had already fought against these people. And some commentators even believe that the reason why Jonah, or one of the reasons why Jonah did not want to preach to the Ninevites, was the fact that Jonah may have lost family members to these people. When they came in, they possibly have killed some of Jonah's own family members. So when Jonah heard that the next assignment that God wanted him to do was to go to Nineveh and preach a message of judgment to these people, Jonah didn't like the destination. He didn't like it. And what Jonah did, he just that, you know, some people just write a resignation. He just didn't write a resignation letter. Jonah decided, I'm just not going to show up for work. When God says go, Jonah said no. And as a result of that, we come to verse number 3. It says, Jonah rose up to flee from unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know, when you look at this from our human viewpoint, it seems that clearly Jonah did not want to run with God. So he tried to outrun God. From a very human viewpoint, you look at this and say, well, Jonah clearly didn't want to go God's direction. Jonah clearly did not want to follow God, so he didn't want to run with God, so he tried to outrun God. But I want you to notice certain things first. Verse number 3. We have Jonah, the fugitive. The Bible tells us here that Jonah rose up and flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa. And he found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, I want you to understand, sometimes we don't give Jonah enough credit. Jonah knew more than we give him credit for. For example, in verse 9 of this text, chapter number 1, look at verse number 9. When Jonah was asked, who art thou? Jonah says in verse number 9, I am a Hebrew. I'm a Jew. And I fear the Lord, that's Yahweh. I fear Yahweh, he said. Not only that, he says, Yahweh happens to be the God of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. I want you to understand, Jonah had some theology. Jonah knew some doctrine. Okay, he was a prophet of God. So he knew more than we gave him credit for. In chapter number 4, when we get there, you will see that. But in chapter number 4, verse number 2, it says here, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was in my country? Therefore I fled from before Tarshish. He says, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Understand, church, what I'm saying this morning as I get going, Jonah knew a lot about his God. He knew that God was sovereign. Jonah knew that it was God, it was Yahweh that created the heavens and the earth. Jonah knew that God had total control. Jonah also knew that God was a very merciful God. And as long as anyone calls on him, God would forgive them. Jonah knew that. So when you read this verse number 3, watch this now. When you come to verse number 3, don't think that Jonah thought that he could get away from the presence of God. It wasn't a situation that Jonah thought that he could really escape the notice of God. Jonah knew that the eyes of God are everywhere. He knew that. So Jonah never thought that it was a situation that he wanted to escape God. To flee from the presence of God. It is not that Jonah thought he can do this, but rather, Jonah thought that he needed to leave the land of Israel, which belongs to God, where God dwelled in the temple. Do you understand me? The presence of the Lord resides in the temple. That's the Israeli mindset. That's the Israelite mindset. That the temple, that's where the very presence of God resides. So Jonah wanted to get as far away from the land of Israel. Jonah wanted to get as far away from the temple. In fact, you remember, it was David in Psalm 137. David in Psalm 139, verses 7 to 9. The Psalm of David, Psalm 139 says, where shall I go from thy spirit? Where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I made my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the earth, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me up. That was the words of the psalmist David. So understand again, a it wasn't that Jonah thought he could really escape God's notice, but he wanted to get as far away from Israel, from the temple where the presence of God resides. So what in Jonah's mind, Jonah thought that if he did not show up for work, meaning going to Nineveh, Jonah thought that if I don't show up for work, God would give my assignment, God will give my duty to another prophet, and effectively freed him from his responsibilities. See what's going on here? Jonah knew that I need to get away from Israel. I need to go get away from Israel. Because I understand, I don't want to go to Nineveh. So he tries. So Jonah bought, what you see here now, Jonah bought a ticket to go to the farthest place a boat was going in the opposite direction. God said to Jonah, God sent Jonah east. Jonah went west, somewhere to Spain. He would have sailed the Mediterranean. I want to say this to us this morning, church. Whenever we decide to get away from the will of God or God's service, Satan will gladly arrange a ride for us when we choose to get out of God's will. I could just imagine Jonah that morning. When Jonah showed up there at the docks, when Jonah showed up there and he went down to the docks and Jonah asked, probably checking all the ships and said, hey, where are you going? You just imagine you're going to Tokyo and you want to get away from Kingston and you want to get the farthest point from Kingston. You check a van and the van, you ask the van, where are you going? The van says, I'm going to Prospect. You're saying that's not far enough. You check another van, the van says, you know what? I'm reaching Byron. You say that's not far enough. You check another van and the van says, you know what? I'm reaching Fancy. He says, I want to go with you. Jonah caught the boat that was going the farthest point in the opposite direction from the will of God. And folks, understand, you know, sometimes it's amazing how we think as humans. You know, we could justify that and we can think, you know what? Wow, God is blessing me because it just so happened I have a van going fancy. You know, I just imagine that I caught the last one just in time. And Jonah probably showed up there and the guys, they said that, Jonah probably asked, where are you going? They said, we are going to Tarshish. And Jonah couldn't believe his luck. Jonah probably couldn't believe his luck. And then he asked them the price. And they probably told him what the price of the ship was. And Jonah probably even, he was like, wow, I have just enough money to get me there. And then he started chatting with the crew members. And the crew members seemed like really nice guys. You know, so the price is right. He's dressing time. The crew members seem nice. And beside that, they're saying, you know, the water's going to be real calm today. It's going to be a great day of sailing today. You know, sometimes we think that when we try to get away from the will of God, understand, Satan would gladly arrange a ride and also the circumstances. And we love to look at these same things and we say, oh, God must be blessing me. God must be blessing me. I could just imagine Jonah had those thoughts when he showed up there. Found the boat, right price, good crew, wonderful weather, great day for sailing. So he left. Look at verse number 4. I love verse number 4 because you have to use your imagination if you would. The Bible says in verse number 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Literally, another version renders it, which is the correct way. The King James doesn't do justice to verse number 4. Literally, it should read, the Lord God hurled a great wind. It's like God has the wind in his hands and he just hurled it out there. That's what the verse is saying. Verse number 4, and the Lord hurled out a great wind into the sea. It's like God tossed the wind out there in verse number 4. And there was a mighty tempest into the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. You know, throughout the book of Jonah, there's a lot of things you will notice that God sent out. We see winds here. Later on, you're going to see God sent out a fish, a plant, a worm. And also God sent out Jonah. Everything obeyed God except Jonah in the book. So we are told this, here is Jonah. You think everything is fine up to this point. He thinks that he's in luck. He even caught a boat going the farthest point away from the will of God. Everything seems to be on schedule. He had money in his pocket to pay the price. So everything seems to be God's will. And then verse number 4 tells us there's a storm. By the way, this is not a natural storm. It's a supernatural storm, if you would. Look at verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the waves that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah had gone down into the side of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. Now, church, watch this. Understand, the Bible tells us that God hurled out a wind and God created a storm. Now, the response by these mariners or these sailors, there's really Phoenicians, the response by them should give us an idea, an indication about the storm. These were seasoned sailors. Okay? These were seasoned sailors. And no doubt these sailors would have seen quite a bit of storms. But they have never experienced anything like this. These men, they had never experienced anything like this. And the Bible tells us they start lightening the loads. They start throwing things overboard. In fact, the truth of the matter is, I believe these men got to the point that anything that was nailed down was thrown overboard. Because you are experiencing the perfect storm. Anything that wasn't nailed down, anything that wasn't battened down, was thrown overboard. This is exactly what you call the perfect storms. So this happened. And we see here, they thought probably that their gods were angry with them. These heathens, ironically, we see here, the Bible tells us, but Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he was fast asleep. And verse number 6, so the shipmasters called to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Call upon thy God, if it so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. But earlier on, we saw that these men, these sailors, they were praying. So ironically, we have the heathens, these unsaved men, they were polytheistic clearly. Everybody had their God. And the storm came, they start praying. So the heathens were praying while the prophet is sleeping. Yes. By the way, when you read verses 4 and 5, it's clear, you could say, well, this doesn't look like love, right? And sometimes God sends things into our life and first look, it doesn't look like love. It looks like God is out to get Jonah and these men. Verses 4 and 5, you look at these verses, it says, where is the love in all this? And the Bible tells us that God sent this storm. Church, I want to just say a few things about storms, then move on. I believe in life there are two types of storms, generally speaking. I believe one, in life there will be storms of perfection. These are storms engineered by God, hurled out by God into your life and my life, so that we can grow. It is not a matter of being in sin. You are not in sin. You are not living in sin. But understand, so when God sends storms of perfection, it is not because of sin, but it's because of the fact that you're a saint. And as a child of God, God oftentimes, he will hurl out storms of perfection so that you can grow, so that we can be stronger, so that we can do the things that he desires to do in the faith. Not because you're in sin, but because you're his child and he wants you to grow spiritually. We call that storms of perfection. And secondly, God will also send storms of correction. Yes, this is because of sin. And what we're seeing here, this is a storm, I believe, of correction. When you're heading the wrong way in a hurry, God will direct some storms towards you. So there are storms of perfection. Just because you're a saint, you will experience these. But there's also storms of correction. That when you're in sin, and like Jonah, you are heading the wrong way in a hurry, and God will interrupt your plan. In fact, truth be told, God will interrupt your sleep. Because that's what's happening here. We have Jonah, the prophet of God. He's sleeping soundly, but out of the will of God. And God interrupted his sleep with a storm. Now join me, verses 6 and 7, 6, 7, 8. So I understand the shipmaster came and said unto him, now I want you to take this notice here. These, you know, during this storm, clearly these men were afraid. Everybody's up there on deck calling on their God. So I believe what is happening now, they are rounding up every passenger on that ship. Hey, you got a God, you pray to your God because we're going to die. And finally, they found Jonah down there. That's the last man. Jonah is snoring, I believe. He's having a good sleep out of the will of God. And they came and they woke him up. Last desperate attempt here we're seeing here. And ask him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God. And if it so be that your God will think upon us, we perish not. And he said, every one of the fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for sure who this evil is come upon us. So they cast lot, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said unto him, tell us, we pray, for whose cause this evil is come upon us? And what is your occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? Of what people thou art? This is interrogation time. The Bible tells us they woke Jonah up. And then they cast lot. By the way, Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast in the lap, but it's every decision is from God. The lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. So it was God who directed the lot to fall on Jonah. So here they are, so they realize, listen, it is because of this sleeper while we perish, they start interrogating Jonah. Jonah, what did you do? What's your occupation? Where are you coming from? Where is your country? Are you on the most wanted list? So they start interrogating Jonah. Look at verse number 9. Here's Jonah's theology now. And he said unto them, verse number 9, I am a Hebrew. Oh, take note of that. He says, I am a Hebrew. A Hebrew, that's one of those names that you use for a Jew, obviously. Before, they would use that term, Hebrew, and you would know instinctively that he was a Jew. It was an older version of saying, I'm a Jew. But he goes on, he says, I'm a Hebrew. And by saying he's a Hebrew, they know exactly who his God is. And he goes on, he says, and I fear the Lord. That word Lord is Yahweh. In the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. He says, I fear Yahweh, the God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land. I want you to notice Jonah's theology here. Because he's cornered. He's been figured out that he's the culprit. He's a reason for the storm. He tells them, I am a Jew. I fear Yahweh. He says, by the way, he made the sea. Yahweh made the sea. In other words, Yahweh, God, controls the storm that we are in. Folks, here you have a man who is running in the opposite direction, trying to get away as far as he can from the will of God, but he had a good head. He knew some stuff. Jonah had a good head, but he had a bad heart. That's the problem. He had a good head, he had the knowledge here, he knows that, listen, this whatever we are into right now, God controls all of this, what's going on here. That's a man with a good head. But clearly, he had a bad heart. You know, sometimes you look at life and you say, how could some people know so much, but yet still do so little, or live the way that they live? And that's the problem with many of us, amen? Our problem is that we don't know. Our problem is what we do with what we know. Here is Jonah. He had so much knowledge, but yet he's doing his own thing. Running away from this God that he knows he can't really run away from. You know the thing that I realize in life, friends, is sin. Sin is never rational. You realize that by now? When you see people do certain things in life, you try to explain it, you just can't. You see a man, he's married to his wife for 20-something years. The Lord has blessed them. They have a house, they have a home, they have wonderful kids as far as you and I might understand. And one day he walks away from all that just for a little girl down the road. It's not rational, is it? You might see a man that, you know, he's not a millionaire, but again, things are okay with him. And, you know, he has whatever little convenience that he needs, but then he's in prison because he tried to steal some more money. Sin is never rational at times. I'll tell you something about sin. You see, sin, if you and I are not careful, hear me this morning, sin promises freedom, but it brings slavery. You hear me? Sin promises success, but it brings failure. Sin promises life, but it brings debt. Sin promises enjoyment, but it brings enslavement. The thing about sin is that sin trails you, then it kills you, my friends. The thing about sin is that sin would fascinate you first, but then it would assassinate you later. That's the thing about sin, my friends. It's not rational. It will trail you at first, but it will kill you in the end. It fascinates you at first, but then it will assassinate you in the end. And sometimes, even though we know all this, there we go, following after it. There we go, like Jonah. The problem was that Jonah, again, it wasn't that Jonah knew that he could just get away and do whatever he wants. But Jonah wanted what Jonah wanted. And here's what we should learn from this. If you don't remember anything Pastor Kirby said this morning, remember this. Beloved, whether you are in the will of God or out of the will of God, you are forever and always will be in the hand of God. You can't do whatever you want and think that you can get away with it because, you know, sometimes people say, well, I ain't no Christian, so God ain't gonna bother with me. Or I'm not gonna trouble God. You ever heard about that one? You know, I ain't going to trouble God because if I want to go and trouble God, you know, I'm going to be in trouble. Listen, again, I want to say it. Whether you are in the will of God or out of the will of God, you are still in the hand of God. You're still reachable by God. You don't have to be a Christian for God to judge you. God judges the ungodly every day. Understand that's how it works. So here we have Jonah. He's caught in a storm, and he's out of the will of God, but he is still in the hand of God. I want to fast forward here now. Verses 10 and 11 tells us, as a result of that, the men were afraid, and they wanted to help Jonah. They asked, what can we do? Jonah, is there anything we can do to fix this? Can I say something? Sometimes we gotta be careful. Because and this is important, this is constant stuff. Church, understand, if God has his hand on somebody, you better stay out of the way. You hear me? Let me say that again. If God is dealing with someone, you don't try to come and fix that, you know? Because you might just get hit too. Oftentimes, you know, as Christians, what we need to do is find out exactly how God is dealing with the individual, and then we need to mirror that. Whatever God is doing, if God is extending mercy, then we're going to be merciful too. But if God is chastising the individual, you can't come and pray that you're more loving than God. And that's when things get a little bit murky. Because God might be chastising somebody because of sin, and we come and we pamper in them. You're going to get hit too. And that's exactly what we see here. What we see here, here is God, and he's chastising Jonah because of his disobedience. Now, these men want to try to help Jonah out. Look how he puts himself, make a target. Eh? You want to try to help Jonah out when God's hand of judgment is on Jonah. So they ask, you know, Jonah, what can we do? And look at verse number 12. And he said unto them, you only know how to fix this. Verse number 12. Take me up, cast me forth into the sea. so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Look at verse number 13. Nevertheless, the man what? Rowed hard to bring it to the land. You see that? Now they have just made themselves a target. Because Jonah is being honest with them. At least Jonah said, listen, if you want this thing to be fixed, the only how to make this sea stop and this storm to quit is to get rid of me. Listen, there's a principle here, you know. Some of you already missed it. There's a principle here, I believe. Some of us, some days, you have people in your life. You need to lose some people, get rid of some people, or there will be forever be storms in some of your life. You hear that? If you are forever tethered, sometimes we are tethered, we are tied to some people, and we know God is judging these people because of their sins, but no, we're rowing hard. We're rowing hard to help these people when the hand of God is on these people. You miss that, eh? The Bible makes it clear. Jonah was honest. Jonah said, listen, if you want to fix this mess, throw me overboard. Get rid of me. Loose me. Cheat me like cheap cargo, like you've thrown all the cargo overboard. Jonah said, you throw me overboard as well. But they didn't like that because they didn't want to be murderers. These men, as heathen and polytheistic as they were, they didn't want Jonah's blood on their hand. So the Bible says that they rowed harder. But they could not, for the sea got angrier. And the sea got angrier. The more men try to help themselves out. Listen, whenever we are caught in a mess, whenever we are disobedient, man cannot help us. You understand that? They rode harder, and as they rode harder, the sea got angrier, and the sea got angrier. Verse number 14 tells us, the men decide, boy, verse number 14, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and says, we beg thee, O God, we beg thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lend us upon us innocent blood. You see, they were scared. They don't want to, because they're throwing overboard, they're going to be like murderers. They murder Jonah. They say, Lord, we're going to do this thing, but let us be innocent of this man's blood. Let it not be on us, they cried. For thou, God, has done as it pleased. Verse number 4:15 says, so they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea. You see how disobedience is catching. When we're disobedient, we will be treated like cheap cargo. Just thrown overboard. And the sea ceased from her waging. The idea is, as soon as Jonah's body hit the water, everything's gone. Soon as Jonah's body touched that frigid waters there in the Mediterranean, everything just returned placid, calm. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. How could you not? How could you be out there in the high seas and see something like that take place, but you're still an atheist? Or you're still a polytheist? You're still holding on to your God? The Bible says, then the men, they feared the Lord, and they offered sacrifice unto the Lord, and they made vows. Folks, understand something there. We see here in this text that the heathen soldiers, they called on Jehovah God. They tossed Jonah overboard. By the way, you see verses 14 to 16, it's wonderful. It is easy to miss the obvious here. Here in this text, in these few verses, I believe this is the primary message of the book of Jonah right here, captured here. The primary message of the book of Jonah is captured right here, verses 14 to 16, in that what we see here is God's willingness to respond in mercy to whosoever calls on him. That's the primary message of the book. You remember Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh so that the Gentiles can hear? No, we have Gentiles here being merciful, yes, and because of Jonah's disobedience, if you would, God even used that for his glory, in that these Gentiles, God got to display his sovereignty. God got to also display his mercy towards all humanity. And when you read verse number 16, it seems like these men got saved. Verse number 16. Because what you see here in verse number 16, one, these men, they recognize Yahweh as God. These men, not only that they recognized Yahweh as God, but they paid him reverence. Also, they offered sacrifice and they made vows and they pledged to do so in the future. After all, when the storm was over, they did this. This seems to me like what God asked the nation of Israel to do in the Old Testament, to prove their worth to him. These men have done everything in this text here, what God had asked the nation of Israel to do. So it seems like these men got saved that day. They feared God. They sacrificed to God. They made vows to God. Spurgeon once said, faith and obedience are bound up in the same bundle. Faith and obedience. Spurgeon says, he who obeys God, trusts God. And he who trusts God, he obeys God. That's what we see here. God used Jonah's disobedience for his glory, showing him that even though you decide not to do what I want you to do in the end, I can still save people in the midst of that. I want to revisit this morning as I close our three universal principles that I mentioned last week, because they are all here in chapter number one. The three principles that I see going through the book of Jonah. One, clearly, as we mentioned last week, church, you and I, we would either run with God or we will eventually run into God. Amen? Yes, and clearly that's what we see here. Jonah chose not to run with God. Some might say he even tried to outrun God. But clearly in the end, Jonah ran into God. And in life, my friends, understand, you might want to do things your way. You might figure your way is the best way. In Jonah's case, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because Jonah couldn't bear the thought of these people repenting and turning to God. Jonah, to Jonah, these people need God's judgment. He didn't want to go and preach to them. Maybe because of his prejudice at times, yes. Maybe there are other factors into that. But in the end, we know Jonah says, God, I base my decision because you're too merciful. And sometimes when we run into God, understand today's disobedience, today's difficulty, sorry, are often a result of yesterday's disobedience. Today's difficulties are often a result of yesterday's disobedience. Second principle we see here, even Mother Nature must obey Father God. The Bible tells us that God hurled a great wind into the sea, and God caused a storm. Even Mother Nature, the wind and the wave, Jesus Christ in the New Testament, Jesus Christ says, peace be still. He spoke to the wind, and Christ spoke to the wave, and just like that, the wind and the wave obeyed Jesus Christ, showing us the deity of Christ, the fact that Jesus Christ is God. And clearly we see here another example where God displays his omnipotence. Even Mother Nature must obey Father God. And thirdly, what we see here in the latter portion of this text is the fact that God's mercy extends to all. To all. What a wonderful picture of the gospel of Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ came into the sin-polluted world to die for sinners. And every man, every individual, they are now on a savable basis in that they can come and they can accept Jesus Christ based on the work that he has done on Calvary's cross. God today is extending his mercy to everyone because of Christ's cross work. He's still doing that. Jonah thought that by not going to Nineveh, no Gentile would be saved. But he ended up catching a boat where there were Gentiles on it. He ended up catching a boat that there were Gentiles on that ship, who clearly display their devotion for God. God's mercy extends to everyone. You might be here this morning and you struggle with thoughts of whether or not God loves you. Yes, he does. You might be here this morning and you struggle with whether God can forgive you. Yes, he can. You're here this morning and you've done things that you're not proud of. You have the wounds to show. And maybe like Jonah, you say, God will never forgive me, so I must just keep running in the opposite direction. I'm not going to run to God. I'm not going to run to church. I'm not going to run to anything that is religious. Because you know what? God will never embrace me, friends. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie from the pit of hell, my friends. God loves you. And God wants to have a relationship with you, my friends. And you might be here this morning. You're like a fugitive. You keep running from God. Friends, one day you're going to run into God. Whether in this life or the next one, you're going to run into God. And I beg you today, if you don't know this Jesus, if you've never accepted this Jesus, please do so before time changes to eternity. Please do so before time changes to eternity. You see, the story of Jonah is just getting started. Because Jonah was tossed overboard. But God wasn't done with him yet. Just like he's not done with you yet. Lurking beneath the frigid waters there of the Mediterranean, God had already given orders to a fish. As Jonah hit that water, God spoke to a fish. God had already given directions to a fish. And says, I want you to get him. And the fish listened to God. Next week we'll continue to see if there are some places you can't pray from. Because next week you're going to clearly see Jonah, chapter number 2 and chapter number 3. Jonah cried out to God. And God didn't say, but I told you so. You never listen, you're hardened, you're hard of hearing. You're so stiff-necked, Jonah, you take that. You know, sometimes we deal with people like that. If I don't talk to you already, will you get your tech, right? Thank God that he's not like man. That the Bible is going to say, at some point, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah again. Listen, this morning might be the morning where the word of God has come to you again. This could be God's warning to you again. Just like Jonah, God is going to speak to Jonah again. This morning, God is speaking to you again. Would you consider surrendering your life to him and stop running from him and start running with him? Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for its power. God, may you use the life of this prophet to speak to us. Father, we thank you for your willingness to respond in mercy to whosoever calls on you. Oh God, you're such a good God. You're such a great God. You're such a merciful God. You're full of mercy. And for that, we thank you. Thank you again. Have thine own way, O God. Working us, we pray. Speak to hearts. May the Spirit of God be actively involved now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand with me this morning as we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Hymn number 301. Number 301 will be our hymn of invitation this morning. 301, only trust him. Maybe you're here this morning and the Spirit of the living God spoke to your heart. Maybe there's something that God is saying to you. Listen, you need to get this right. You've been running around with this.